welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Amen. Well, I want to just talk about giving. It's a special day of giving. I know we've given, but and I'll talk about that in a moment. But I just want to share something God has put on my heart. It's a scripture. It's probably for somebody, maybe more than one person. I hope it's a scripture that you're familiar with. I'm sure I've ministered on it in the past, but I want to obey the Lord. I want to take you to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season or due time, it says here, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's a scripture you should put a box around. Chew on it. Sit before God and read it. It applies to you. I remember a time, I don't know, you must be like me, if not a lot, a little. There are times when there's that much stuff I have to get an answer to. Has been through the years, it hasn't changed yet. From so many areas that I just don't know which way to turn, and I invariably find myself turning and tossing in bed because the thoughts are filling my mind and I'm trying to get solutions to them. Let me tell you, you can't get solutions to them. You can't, but there is one that has the solutions to them. And I never forget the time, early hours of the morning, and I was going through this, and suddenly God dropped this into my spirit, and I just spoke it out. And with it came real revelation. You know, I'm talking about not a revelation whereby you can understand it with your mind, but a revelation whereby your heart, spirit man, switches on, and you have it. You have it. The scriptures here says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Think of that. Humble yourself. Become a nobody. Become someone that is not worth much, can't do much, has no real ability. Get out of the way, in other words. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And listen to this next line. And he will exalt you in due season. It doesn't say right then. He says, I will. Maybe down the road a bit, but I will. He says, if you will humble yourself under my mighty hand, knowing that the hand of the Lord moves to and fro throughout the length and breadth of the land, and the Lord walks it too. If you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As that came into my spirit and I spoke it out, I became a renewed person. When I heard what God was saying to me, he was saying, just who do you think you really are? I'm trying to handle these things. Humble yourself. Get out of the way and know that you can't deal with this. You have no answer to this. Sometimes we try to be God. Have you ever found that? You've been trying to be God, trying to do the impossible, trying to get an answer to the impossible. Humble yourself. Get out of the way. Under the mighty hand of God, do it. Knowing that God is there. His hand is outstretched, the Bible says, to bless. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you, lift you up high. Hallelujah. In his own time, he'll do it, but he'll do it. And he's never early, and he is never late, but he is always on time. Glory to God. Have you found that? Yeah. So often we think he's late, don't we? Oh, when's he going to do it? He's never going to do this, ever. He's always on time. Faithful is God, the promised. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Here's the big one. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's humility. Handing it right over to God on the conviction and belief that they're in the safest hands that have ever or ever will exist. And it's already taken care of the minute I hand it over. As far as God's concerned, and if you and I act on the word of God in faith, your problem's going to go. I don't want to spend a lot more time on this, but God told me this before I start to speak on this word, this scripture. If it's not for us all, it's for some of us. But I leave it with you to take away, go and turn to it and chew on it. Don't do it here this morning. Go and chew on that. And if you have circumstances where you need the evident hand of a mighty God to function on your behalf, look to Him for it. There's nothing too big and nothing too small. Humble yourself. Get out of the way and acknowledge the omnipotent God who is your Father if you're believers. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season as you cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That word cast in the Greek is to throw it off onto Him. Just thunder. You haven't got to do it, be nice about it. You just throw it off. Here it is, God, I don't want it anymore. I thought you were going to catch it. That's what you do. Do you understand? Throw it off. Yes? Come on, do it with me. Do the actions. Throw it off. If you've got something you need to throw off on Him, throw it off. Tell Him clearly, but throw it off. If you know, when I threw that, I nearly said at my wife, threw it to her, I didn't have it any longer, did I? Did I? Get out of the way. Oh, I know what it's like to try and get out of the way. It's not the easiest thing, but get out of the way. Hand this over to Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. What an awesome God we have. Well, I would love to take a time. I'd like to take a couple of sessions. I'd like to take a small conference with you and teach the Word of God on giving. Money, giving. It's not just money, but I'm talking about money right now. We've had a special giving day today to help with the things that need to be done financially. But I'd love to be able to teach what the Bible says about giving, and when we do it God's way, what God's response to that is. I'd love to spend that time. I'd love to have an answer and a question and answer time. I'd like to hear all the problems you have, if you have any, as to tithing or giving generously, so much till it hurts you, but you give it. I'd love to have a time when I can hear your questions and answer them from the Word. I'd love to do that. How many would like to do? I think I've voiced this before. I'd like to spend some time and teach you the Word on tithing and offering and why and what it accomplishes, not only in the objective of giving it to meet their given need, but what God's plan for you to give is in your life. I'd like to do that. But this morning, I just scribbled out a few thoughts here, and I was meditating on this and saying, looking, trying to get the mind of God, and knew I wouldn't have time to really go into teaching tithe and offering. But God wants me to try and communicate to you something far bigger than the tithe and the offering. It's why the tithe and why the offering. It's what's behind that. Oh, we've got such a great God. I'm going to start off, if I may. I know you know it. I trust you know it by now. But I need to remind you of this. So apart from any knowledge I really have or don't have of this word, There's one thing I do have in this experience of what I'm saying. You know that Hillary and I were called to live to the ministry and called to live a life of faith, which we did. You know that we didn't take unemployment benefit that was ours. We'd called it to release our jobs and worked, which we did. Stepped out a little bit like Abraham with hindsight, not knowing where we were going and how we were going to get there. But we did it. Is that right? We just did it because we believed God. Let me say this. From the moment Hillary and I were married, you may think I'm going nowhere, but I really am. Moment before we got married, and from the day on until this day, we have declared to God and still do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's it. We will. There's no question about that. We will. To the best of our ability, we will. We're not perfect only in God. With our endeavors and efforts, we will. We will. We have, we do, and God willing, we will still try to. I'm going to say some things that I'm not saying to you this morning. I'm saying what I'm saying today to help you. You know, I realize I am confronted with a lot of doubt. I can feel it. A lot of negativity, but I'm here to share the Word of God to you. Don't take that as proportioning, oh, fancy you doing that to me. That's not the issue. I know where it comes from. It comes from unbelief. But from that day to this day, we've endeavored to do that. Honor the Lord. Serve the Lord. Our knowledge and understanding of giving has grown through the years, through the Word, through experience. And I'll enlarge on that. Let me make a statement that I'm making because of what I'm going to share with you. I'm making for no other reason but to try and serve God and serve you in this house in communicating it. We love to give. We love to give. We give to God. Hillary's the most generous giver I know, you know, and that's a big thing for me to say when you have a shared bank account and you both have a card that you can draw out on and so on. But I have a generous wife, so a lot of this giving is attributed to my generous wife who just loves to give. But we love to give to the house of the Lord. To help you understand what I'm going to touch this morning, I want you to hear me say this as well. For those that were at the business meeting last week, you will have some idea of what I'm going to say now. Last year, out of the giving for 2017, January through to December, I had no thought, never have ever done this before, sitting there, and I just sensed prodded to do it, so I'm doing it. As we got the accounts and as we got our giving and saw the accounts, our giving represented just over one-tenth of the total income of this church. Now, I'm saying that to you for a reason. I'm saying that to you because every one of us have the ability to give according to our heart, based upon what God gives. And if we can understand what some of the simple things that God's Word tells us about giving, we'll understand it more. We have an enemy. It is one of unbelief, so we don't believe God will do what He says. If we really did, we would step out on the water like Peter did. Every time we would step out and be kept by the power of God, Jesus. But Hillary and I lived a life of faith for about 30 years, raised six children during that time, six children, without asking money for anybody. No prayer letters went out in all those times. We just followed God and the direction of God. I hope you're hearing, I'm not giving you a testimony just, I'm trying to communicate what we've experienced in our lives from God and through God and in accordance with His Word. And I'm not saying that those times were easy, but they weren't hard. If you ask our children, they might tell you that they were hard, bless them. But I think they've come through okay. They'll carry on going on okay. But we've gone through so much by faith, and I'm talking money-wise, not just in our own lives, but in the ministry as well. Faith on and in this Word of God, the promises of God. So through all of that, we've learned a lot. I want to turn you, can we put these scriptures up? I think you have got them. Isaiah 48, 17 and 18. Can we have that in the Amplified? I'm going to give you some scriptures just to pattern a little bit of our journey, but how and why. And these are really important scriptures. This is the Amplified. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Teaches you to profit and leads you in the way to profit. The way that you should go to profit.
Go ahead.
Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, and your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. Through scriptures like this, and could we look at just quickly, there's so many, but I'm only going to give you two here. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 7. Could you put those up for us, please? 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 7. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This is Paul writing in response to the church, to the churches, in response to the request that's been made for them to give financially to the needs of the churches. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. You need to chew on that. I can't spend time, but take that down and read it. Can we go to verse? For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift, it was finance, and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Could you just leave that there for a moment? I want you to grasp what we read Paul writing in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He's telling us about the abundant giving of those people that weren't in a place to give it, but they gave till it hurt. That's what he said in a nutshell. And then he goes on to say this, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And church, let me tell you this, that's where it starts. They first gave themselves to God. Everything comes out of that. You've heard me say it time and time again. It's about relationship. It's not about knowing. Those words of Job ring in my ears time and time again. He said to his comforters, he said, after he'd dealt with them, he said to God, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see you. Hallelujah. You can hear people talk about God. You can hear about the miracles of God. You can hear about having a relationship with God. It'll do you no good till you make that yours. And you have a testimony of that living relationship with a living God who never leaves you nor forsakes you, is there in every circumstance. And you know there is no circumstance that you can go to or be found in if you're walking in the will and plan of God that He isn't there with you in it. Glory to God. I'm talking the way I'm talking. Not for my own benefit. I'm talking this way because I'm talking about the house of God. I'm talking about God's plan on this planet. talking about God's desire to have a people built together, the house of the Lord, whereby He truly is God, where His train fills the temple, the gathered people. The power of His presence is there. Let me tell you, church, the power of God's presence comes because, not because we sing, not because we praise, not because we give. The power of His presence comes because there are hearts burning for God and God alone. My singing is just an expression that gives relief to my praise and worship of God. My giving is just an expression of my absolute trust and joy in the God of my salvation. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. That's why Paul says, we were not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Until you and I give ourselves to the Lord, we won't give ourselves to one another, and we won't give our finances to the work of God easily. It starts there. Now that's teaching, bringing you the word of God to bear. And I guess out of that, Hillary and I have learned how to profit. We've learned that what God says He means, so therefore we have a right to expect it. And though it tarry, wait for it, it will surely come to pass. It's having that patience. It's having that ability to stand there in hard times and say nothing to anybody but just your communication with God of faith. Not a complaint, but a faith. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you, the greatest thing I could ever tell you, apart from you need to be born again. Because when you hand over your whole being to God, you're into another realm. You're into another world of Christian living. You're into a world whereby it's not just talk. It's living inside you, which results in actions coming out of our lives. We've learned that God wants to prosper us. We've learned that the blessing of God is God's mandate to prosper us. That's what it is. You read through the Bible where the blessing of God is spoken and see the result. It's God's plan to prosper us. That's the blessing. And we're all blessed. But God can only bless us the way He wants to when we open up ourselves to it, come into alignment with it. We've learned that giving is an awesome part of our lives in the house of God. We've learned that giving is systematic. Systematic. Just as you are paid systematically. You may, if you are employed, you'll get a weekly salary. It's paid every week. If it's monthly, it's every month, or whatever they agree. It's systematically paid. And we've learned that giving to God is systematic. It's consistent. And it's consistent with something. Not only is it systematic, but it is freely given. It's freely given. So we believe and have learned that giving is systematic. It is freely given. And it's given on this basis that it's not ours, but it's His. For God, the Bible says, has given us all things to be used for His glory, and has given it to us on trust. Psalm 24, verse 1, we can spend time, but I will not stop it. You can put it up behind me if you wish, so Psalm 24, verse 1. Tells us that the world's the Lord and all that are in it. Everything is His. Everything you've got is His. And we've learned that everything we are and everything we have belongs to the Lord. Did you know that? It already belongs to the Lord. So we've learned that. As we have learned to give, we've learned to realize that God is faithful at promised, and He ministers back to us. Praise God. So our giving, we've learned, is to be systematic, proportional, and it's to be giving of our time, our talent, the gifting that we have, the ability we have, and our worldly goods, our increase, is to be given to him, because it's been given to us on trust. On trust to be used for his glory in his kingdom on the planet, to see his will be done on the earth, to see his kingdom come, to see non-perishing, to see able people equipped to be able to go and do the job, because we are able and willing givers to that end. So systematic giving is based upon the fact that it's not ours to start off with, it's his. Do you know what? When it comes to tithing, we tithe. He's asked us to tithe systematically a tenth of all of our increase. Hillary and I, you've heard me say it. We tithe each month. Through that month, we keep a list of all the income that we get, whether it's a birthday present, whether it's a gift of any sort, whether it's an extra increase. It comes in, and that is added up at the end of the month, divided by 10, and that's our tithe. We're called a tithe of all of our increase. And you know, isn't it awesome? The Lord has only asked us to tithe one-tenth of it for his kingdom, for reaching the lost, for reaching the unsaved, for maintaining a building like this or any church building. One-tenth. And he says you can keep the other nine-tenths. And for some reason we can't, or we find great difficulty, or many Christians do, in doing that. Where does that come from? There's only one enemy of the kingdom. There's only one enemy of the kingdom. And I refuse to serve that enemy. I refuse to. I trust God, and we've learned to trust him. So we've learned what I've said, to trust the Lord, understanding that we have a practice of systematic and proportional giving of those three things to the Lord, because God has given those to us on trust. That'll be used for his service and for his glory. I want to take you, because of my time, to a scripture, because we believe in prosperity, you see. Anyone believe in prosperity here? How many believe in that? Prosperity. Amen. God wants to prosper you, spirit, soul, and body. God wants to. How many really believe that? Well, God says he will teach you how to profit. He will teach you how to prosper. That profit, that prospering will not come unless you do it God's way. It won't come. I can tell you that. You've heard me say before, and I say it again, for your help. But it happened. It was our heart. We were that simple. We still are that simple. We trust God. When we had hardly any income, when we had no income, but potentially a pound note was left lying around deliberately by someone for us, but never told us they wanted to give it to us. We tithed it. We could have said, oh, we got to pay this or with it. We tithed it. We learned this. It's faithful to honor God. Because with a 10 shilling note, you weren't around, most of you, when it was a 10 shilling note. That was equivalent to a 50p piece today in old money. You know, what would you do with a 50p piece to pay your rent or pay your way or whatever? What would you do with it? I'll tell you what. Invested in the kingdom of God with a revelation of understanding. A lot of people think they have a good handle on the stock market and they get the right market and they put all their money in there because the returns are going to be great. I want to tell you they're dwarfed by the returns that God gives to those who trust him, to those who are caught up with the kingdom of God. Be a hilarious giver, church. 2 Corinthians 9, read it for yourself. Be a hilarious giver. So we've learned that God wants to prosper us, and so we believed his word enough to do what he says, even when there was no natural evidence of it. God wants to prosper us. We've done it with clean hands, clean heart, expectation, thankfulness, thanking him even before we've given it, thanking him for his promise to increase this 100-fold. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, when you tithe and when you give, do you expect God to multiply that back to you? Because if you don't, you're sowing in vain. Because God's promise is, just as when a farmer puts seed in the ground, he said, seed time and harvest will not end. You put seed in, you're going to get a harvest. And that's true in the natural, and it is true in the spiritual. You know, God wants to bless you, family. He can, once God can get hold of you because you're givers, abundant givers in faith, and he starts returning it, he can't return it to you unless you receive it. You know that? If you don't expect to receive it, you don't receive it. Everything works by faith. Did Jesus Christ die for you long before you ever knew the name Jesus? Yes, he did. It was done. God so loved the world. How did you or I receive that? I had to do something about it. Is that right? Principles are same. Principles are same. So, let me turn you to Genesis 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, saith God to Abraham, and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants. Hillary and I have learned that. We've learned that. We've learned that because we are the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3. I think I shared this with you to take notes, I think, last week. But let me take you to Galatians chapter 3. Open your Bibles as well as seeing it on the overhead. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, I'm going to read from. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, hold that for a minute. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Next verse, that. The blessing, the reason he was made a curse for us, is that the blessing, the reason he went to the cross for us, is that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that was you and I before we were saved, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's all received by faith. That's why Jesus went to the cross, not just to save us, but to bless us. Hallelujah. Cause us to prosper in every area of living. So the blessing of Abraham came on the Gentiles. Let's stay in that same chapter, and let me take you down to verse 29, is it? Could you put 29 up, Mark? Thank you. And if you are Christ's, and if you're born again this morning, you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we've learned that we are heirs according to the promise. Praise God. What promise? We've learned that God's promise to prosper us is a covenant promise. I take you back to Genesis 17:7. Let's go back there. Can we put that up? Genesis 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Look what it says. Between me and you and your descendants in their generations. We've learnt that in our generation, to take hold of what was Abraham's and his descendants in the Old Testament generations, for God to prosper us. Do you understand that? We've learned that's what he wants to do. And we've learned from that what we need to do now is find out how we fulfill keeping that. And it's keeping his word. Not on your terms, but on his terms. You know, I made a statement there. And believe me, I have no desire for you to think of Hillary and I, wow, they gave that much money? that in proportion to the rest of the giving, I'm not interested in that. Really not interested in that. I'll tell you what, I'm selfish. I want us to be so faithful to God that He can continue to pour more and more, not only money, but the ability to be a blessing. Do you understand? So when I said that, I was sitting there, and I went back to check with Carol that my facts were right. And do you think that's right for me to share? Then I came and asked Hillary if she minded me sharing that, because I felt prodded to do it. And I was so caught up as I sat there, and I realized it doesn't seem that long ago that Hillary and I didn't have 2D to rub together. Didn't have 2D. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And God wants to prosper you just like He prospered. He will prosper those that trust Him and walk with Him. You don't trust God when you're holding back. You know, if we were able to give what amounted to about a tenth of the total income of this church last year, that has to let you know something, that we mustn't have held back. Didn't held back. We believe in systematic giving. We believe in that. And proportionate to the Word of God. Whatever it is. I want to tell you, we get a birthday present, a tenth goes. Whatever, if money comes our way, God gets His tenth. Glory to God. You know, I said that, I got this thought. This sounds bombastic too, but it's a thought I had, which has to be a real true one, I guess. My God can trust you. God can trust us. It's you and God. Hillary and I know different to you or anybody else in this church or any other church. It's this Word we've got to believe enough to stand upon and live by. Because this Word is my God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's all received by faith. Hallelujah. So we believed it enough that in our generation, back to verse 7 of Genesis 17, this generation, He wanted to bless us. There it is, that the blessing of Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. Hallelujah. His covenant of blessing has been established in our lives in this generation. It's the same promise He gave to my daddy, Abraham. I'm in direct down line of Abraham. I'm not Isaac, I'm not Jacob, but I'm John Nabby way, way down there, and years and years and years later. But the promise remains. It's a covenant of promise to bless. Glory to God. Can you understand that? Have I overdone it? You want me to share some more? I'm going to leave it there. I want you to understand, giving is the greatest thing you can do if you believe.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.